Psalms 4, it says, Psalms 4, verse 4, it says, standing on, sin not, commute with your own heart upon your bed, and be still, Salah. Amen. I was thinking about that standing off. I was thinking even this morning, you were preaching on that young lady, that young Israelite lady, and that I couldn't help but think that man, I don't know how long he had that leprosy, he had that sin on him. He couldn't even love on his sweetheart. He couldn't do this or that. I believe when you read it, you said she was a maid to his sweetheart, a maid to his wife, an attendant. Just think, that little old woman, she didn't take a hold on them Syrian gods. She didn't take a hold on her environment. She stayed true to the living God. And she stayed true to him, and she let her light shine. And I can't help but wonder if he obviously had wealth, if he hadn't tried everything he could to get that leprosy off of him. But it took the living God to do it. Amen. It says somebody heard that little old girl. Somebody heard, maybe she was over there praying for her master that she didn't desire, the one that took her as a slave. Amen. I heard an old brother Jack, you say, bloom where you planted. Them conditions weren't right. But she was a shining all the same. And somebody got clean because of it. Somebody got clean. I can't help if that man didn't stand at all. You said like a limousine, that big old chariot rolled back home. And he got down off of it. He wasn't a limping. There wasn't no sickness to him. He had a flesh of a little old baby. I can only imagine. I'm sure he had to wear gloves and things. If he touched his wife's hand, he couldn't even kiss his little sweetheart. Oh, when the God got done with him, he peeled that glove off, took his little old sweetheart's hand, and kissed her because somebody was faithful to the living God. Amen. Amen. Standing off. Amen. Oh, but that chariot came back twice as fast as it went. Whoo! I got leprosy. I ain't got any more. I hope she got that chariot lip smacker. Come on. Amen. Hey, that's right. You know I'm telling it right. Amen. When God, somebody don't conform, how wonderful it is. How the light will shine when they do that. We're going to bounce around. I promise y'all, I have preached in one section before, but not tonight. We're going to start over in Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to tell you what, give me the thought for tonight, and we're going to go from there. But first I'd like to say, I talked about standing in awe. This week I got happy in the plane, walking around doing my R-bomb. Luckily nobody's watching me. It's cold, they's all indoors. My fire was stoked. I got happy. I was thinking, you know, I got saved as a little old boy, this old Gentile. Amen. That same Holy Ghost. Amen. That moved on the man in this Bible. That same Holy Ghost come down Goshen one night. Amen. And told me I was lost. Amen. And I believed on him that night and was made clean. He didn't just make me clean that night. He made me clean forevermore. I've never been as clean as I was that night. Tonight he sealed me. Tonight he might give me a new body in heaven and he clean me. I've never been that clean since. Amen. It don't take long to get dirty. Amen. It don't take very long to get dirty at all. Amen. Amen. But we got a God who's faithful and just. You'll confess some sins. You'll get them off of you. Amen. Amen. That's what I was thinking, standing awe. I'm in awe that there's coming a day. All the times I've stained myself and blemished myself in my testimony, but there's a reserved, a sealed body for me that don't know sin. Amen. Oh, I was standing in awe. All the things I've done, that he had saved me that day, knowing down the road how I'd fail him. And even yet, he decided he'd call me to preach. I can't believe that either. Can't believe it. Yet he decided you're going to give me a dose of it. Amen. And I ain't going to lie, I like it. I like it. Amen. And growing up, there's always a reverence for the Rock of Ages men. Just because they have a high standard and the gods always seems to be on them. Amen. Y'all can amen me. You see it every Sunday. Amen. And I don't even feel worthy for that. I don't know why God's so good to me, but he, boy, he is. Amen. I stand in awe. I ain't worthy. It's all him. Every bit. Every bit. He let me go into prison house and took me a little while to learn how to talk to men about the Lord. And if you don't ever do it, you don't ever learn it. Kind of like hunting. You ain't going to kill nothing. You don't go in the woods. You don't try to talk to somebody about the Lord. You sure ain't going to win nobody. And I tried it, and I failed many a time. I ain't going to lie. I had many a time. It just got a little awkward, and you just leave. But the Lord, He kept working on me and teaching me. And then the last time I went in Mississippi, Lord God let me win 12 souls. Hey, man, I know I was probably just reaping on what somebody else had sowed and watered. Hey, amen, but I was a vessel of the Holy Ghost that came by that day. Hey, amen. I believe, you know, the Holy Ghost has to be present for a lost man to get saved. Do you ever think that maybe you're the vessel that the Holy Ghost is a coming by in? Amen. Oh, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, maybe you'll splash on them. Hey, amen. Oh, we're going to talk about that. Being a vessel of the Holy Ghost, being a lamp for God, we're going to start in Ephesians. Chapter 5, it says, and we'll start in verse 40, the filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. But be not ye therefore partakers with them, For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. If I didn't go in that jailhouse with my bosom full of the Lord, it ain't going to do nobody no good. Just a waste of my time. And it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. That verse right there is the one that got all this rolling in my mind. Way back in Christmas, I was talking to Brother Jim Davison. He's a Rock of Ages missionary. The very prison that I went to last year is one that he covers. And he said, you wouldn't believe ungodly things they're doing in the dark, in the back there in the pods. This prison's a little bit more risky than some. We ain't allowed to go back in where they sleep. He said, you wouldn't believe the wicked things they're doing back there. And that got to rolling in my head, how that everybody and their brother thinks a boogeyman's got the dark. Everybody and their brother thinks that evil rules the night. No, sir. Dark, it was dark. Amen. And somebody else owns it. Amen. Somebody else owns that dark. Amen. And they, man, and wicked things think they own it, but that ain't the case. Amen. We know that light always overwhelms dark. I know you preach this series of messages, punching holes in the dark. Whenever a ray of sunshine comes in, the darkness has to retreat. That's just the way it is. Amen. Oh, and it says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, wake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Amen. They're dead and they're trespassing and sin. A lot of them don't even know they're as good as dead. They don't even know they're in the dark. They don't even know what they're missing. Amen. You know how they find out? There's got to be a little light come their way. Amen. That's what I hope to be a vessel of light next week. But guess what? Stanton Prison in Alabama ain't the only dark place there is. There's dark places just across the street. There's dark places just around the corner. There's dark places on every corner. Somebody don't know the living God. God, amen. Oh, and it says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We know His will is that none perish. What's that mean? That means we got to shine as bright as we can, while we can, because we ain't got long. Amen. You got somebody you want to see get saved? You polish the lens up, do whatever you got to do, fill her up with oil, burn bright. Oh, you say, well, what if those sins are upon me and you want to burn bright again? I'm sure that's the case. It's been the case of me many a time. Not just once or twice in my Christian life. There's been many a time that I got dirty and I knew I wasn't shining. says in John, first epistle of John here, it says, that which we have seen and heard declared unto you, that ye also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about tonight. If you're dirty, you're out of fellowship, you ain't shining like you should, it's not obvious who your master is, who you got in your bosom. It says, in these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That joy is evidence. I tell you what, when I walk in, got a smile on my face, I know you can fake it, but you can tell when it ain't fake too. Amen. When they got a hold of something. Last time, that last prison I went into in Mississippi, I walked up to this one old man. He's just a grinning, and he's already his eyes are watering, and he just shook my hand. He's so glad to see us. So glad to see us. When you're in that position, you just get what you get. Every single doctrine, whether it be watered down or this, that, and the other. And when something good comes through, boy, it's a treat. He was so excited to see us. Tell you, man, that prison was a little different. It was an older man dorm. Everybody in there was silver-haired saints. Well, some of them wasn't saints, but they had silver hair anyway. Walked up to one old fella. Boy, you talk about making you old feel ashamed. He had a big old knot the size of my fist on the side of his throat. It made his voice real rough, and he said, "Praise the Lord." He was so excited. He was glad to be alive. Hey, man, he had something worth living for. Amen. There's some bright, there's some lights in prison. Everybody thinks it's, they think that everybody in there is just crude and wicked and you can't reason with them. No, sir. There's some godly men in prison and some godly ladies in prison. Maybe they got saved after they went in. Maybe they was a cold Christian when they went in. I don't know. But I know that they got time to study and to walk close to the Lord. And a lot of them do. There's good liberty in a prison. I tell you what, there's sweet liberty in some prisons. There is. I don't know what it is about it. You can't cover nothing up. You come in stinking because you can't afford soap, and everybody's wearing the same clothes. It takes a lot of the fooliness out of church. I tell you, they're there for one reason: to give God glory. Amen. They don't have to catch up with nobody there. They're with them all the time, anyways. Oh. And then they come in, and it can get sweet in there. Hey, man. Hey, man, Brother Jeff just had that heart surgery. He's got prison. He calls it the church behind the wall. There's a church up in Pennsylvania. There's a lot of faithful men of God in that church. They come in there on Sundays and Wednesdays, and they are hard praying. And they got a faithful chaplain there who's of sound doctrine. And that church grows. It's just like us in here, except everybody's wearing the same thing. He wanted that church praying for him especially. And I like preaching there too. And it says, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Simple fact of the matter is, no matter who you are, every now and again, sin sneaks up on you. Sin sneaks up on you. Every now and again, you got to wipe that lens. Got to wipe that glass. You're a lantern. Amen. That they can see in. And you can shine out. Amen. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. It's in him. And he'll draw nigh to him. He'll draw nigh to you. We know that. You want to shine brighter? Get closer. There's a lot higher voltage up closer to him. Amen. We say over here in John, it says that Jesus said in verse 46 of chapter 12, he said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Jesus said that he is the light. And then Isaiah says he shines for everlasting light. Amen. That sun's going to go out, but Jesus ain't going to go out. He's a shining right now. Amen. If you're a Christian, he's shining in here. Amen. And when there ain't nothing else to shine at the end of days, he's going to shine still. Amen. Oh, it says at the start of John, it said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's capital W. It's talking about Jesus. It says the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life that was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. That's capital L. It's talking about Jesus. That all men through Him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, capital L, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Amen. Amen. I like that part right there. For all men, it's, amen. I ain't a big fan of no hyper-Calvinism. I don't like it when they say who can get in and who can't. It makes me mad, as a matter of fact. I can't help it. It just makes me a little mad because He died for everybody. Amen. And you go over into Matthew. We're getting down into the meat and taters now, folks. It says in Matthew chapter 5, it says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. They're in darkness in there, a lot of them, doing wicked things. Somebody has to show the good works before them. Somebody's got a love on them, preacher. You want your light to shine, you got a love on them. I mean, it don't bother me none. I might wash my hands twice when I come out, but I ain't got no trouble loving on them. Brother Jeff said he thinks that's one of the reasons I have pretty good luck as a soul winner, because I'm a big fella, but I'll get down next to them, get down with them, and I'll shake their hand. They suck the cigarettes so close, half her fingers are burnt on the ends, and they stink, some of them. But you got, hey, man, I know one I can wash them so clean. Hey, man. Hey, man. So let's look at a man that called for light. There's calling for light everywhere. There's children within sight of this church and houses within sight of this church that they don't even know they're in the dark tonight. Calling for a light. And over in Acts, we know that y'all are my home church. And I love y'all very much. And we know that in Acts, over in, I believe it's in 14. Well, let's see. In I'm sorry, here it is, 13. In 13, the Holy Ghost moved. In chapter 13, it says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. God moved right there. Y'all know He's moved on my heart to go serve Him. To go serve Him in distant dark places that y'all can't go. The whole church couldn't go. But I guarantee you, Antioch didn't quit working in their hometown. They had dark places they had to reach there too. Holy Ghost moved on the man going, and He moved on the men sending. And that's when it started moving right there. And we know they went to Asia, and they came back, and Barnabas and Saul had Paul had a disagreement. And then Paul took Silas, and then they went toward Europe. And it'd be Philippi. There's a man working at a prison in Philippi. There's a man working in a prison. He didn't know they was coming. All of Europe didn't know they was coming. Hey, man, there's a bright light coming your way. And they come there. Oh, and that's chapter 16, as Pastor said. And they land in Philippi. And the first convert in Europe was a lady, Lydia, a seller of purple. That's in verse 14 of chapter 16. God's got a funny way that He'd give them a headquarters. We know later they were at her house. I believe Lydia was a wealthy lady. Does that mean you got to have no wealthy people? No, that just happened to be the first lady they won. She is making that purple dye, the most expensive there is. And we know she had a large house later in the Bible. That's where they left from and spent time in. But there's a man working in a prison. He worked there and he had a family, we know that. And he was just doing whatever they said do. I don't know what gods he had. He might have had a dead god that ain't ever done nothing for him. I don't know. And we know that Paul cast the devil out of a young lady. And he's just doing what God wanted. And all of a sudden they start getting squeezed. And it says in verse 22, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Here they are. They ended up in this dark place, wondering how they got there, wondering why they're there. Clothes gone, torn. Probably they didn't have a lot of clothes probably anyways, and then they've been whipped. This whole world's a squeezing, Christian. There's only two Christians in all of Europe, other than the ones they won in the pages before, just a handful of Christians in all of Europe and a church back yonder praying for them. They're in a dark place. There's a jailer in there. Apparently, he watched if he didn't partake in them getting whipped, and they're getting squeezed. And this is the importance of letting your light shine. Oh, and it says, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. They could have fussed and complained and groaned with all them other prisoners, and there wouldn't have been a people light got out. But they had something them other fellas didn't have. I always think of them being chained up and old Silas bumping Paul. I don't know how long they've known each other. They had teamed up there earlier, as we read. But he said, tell me about that light on Damascus Road. Tell me about that light. Yeah. He said, it's so bright I couldn't see nothing. As a matter of fact, it's so bright I couldn't see nothing for days. Amen. It's that bright. Amen. I knew who he was as soon as he shined on me. It said, amen. Amen. When a God comes by a lost man, they know who it is. Amen. They know who it is. Amen. It's that light shine. He said, oh, they were probably sitting there hurting. He said, why don't we start praying? Amen. Is this worth it? He said, oh, yeah. He said, why don't we go ahead and thank him? You want to thank him right now? You just start thanking him. They started praying, it said, and singing. And they had something different. They had something inside of them nobody else in that place had. And it said, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praise unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. We're talking about a man that ain't got God. This is his livelihood. We know he's got a family. This is his livelihood. He lives here at the jail from what we read here. And all of a sudden, it's gone. It's taken from him. He heard all them doors open. It's dark. He thinks everybody, he just lost it all. In his head, he can't feed his youngins. He can't do nothing. I don't know why he'd fall on a sword. Maybe they got life insurance. I don't know. But he was in a dark, dark place. God had even cut out the physical lights. And he heard the gates open. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. When a man realizes in the dark, this next part's what I like. Then he called for a light. And sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. We know all the lights in the place went out. And we know that there they are full of joy, vessels of the Holy Ghost. He called for a light and he came to them. they're the only light in the whole place. Amen. Ain't that good? And then we know there that and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. He got a hold of something that night. Got a hold of something that, oh man, oh man. I bet he took joy in putting manacles on them after that. They couldn't run when he preached to them. Amen. That's there. He called for a light. God sent that light all the way from over here. There's going to be somebody in Alabama next week. I hope the Lord lets me win one. I'm sure somebody, you say, that's a deep south. Well, somebody sowed, somebody watered. I might get to reap. But I'll be just happy getting to water, getting to sow. But what I really want is a woman to get saved. Somebody get a new mama, new daddy. Amen. Wouldn't that be good? I got one more little thing here. Well, if y'all don't mind to dim the lights. If you ain't scared of the dark. You know, that maniac of Gadara, he's in a dark place. He's in such a dark place that he couldn't even count the devils that had a hold of him. Couldn't even count what had a hold of him. And he's in such a dark place that he didn't think there was any hope, and he's already making his home in the tombstones. You know? Making his home in the tombstones. That man ain't got much left when you're doing that. Cutting yourself, sleeping amongst the graves, and so much wickedness got a hold of you, you can't even keep up with it. So, I don't know. I had this thought, and I can't do it in prison. But, or I could only do it once anyways. So, we know in Romans 12:3, it said, God says, let's just read it. Would that be all right? Let's just read it. Romans 12:3. I love this verse. I heard Ed Blue preach on it one time, and I just love it. And the word of the Lord says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me," God's give grace to us, we know that, "to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." That right there says God give grace to all men. We know through grace, that's how we get saved. Through our faith and what he did, he gives us grace. And every man, it says right there, is given, he has dealt to every man the measure of faith. This box of matches, this whole box, every one of these will strike a flame. Every one of them. Every lost man can get saved. And God can put a flame in their bosom. Every single one. The part that hinges on them was, they willing to move or not? That's true for any lost person. Only thing keeping you from being saved is, are you willing to move? We know that this right here has fuel on the end of it, and it'll arc with phosphorus. It'll make a flame. Lost man, if there's one in here tonight, you can be saved. All you got to do is move. Don't say, "Oh, not tonight, not tomorrow." You might not have tomorrow. You got to move. So, well, there we go. Need a little more gusto. So there's a Christian's life. It says, "Blessed is the man who God will not impute iniquity." A man that gets saved, you're going to have a light in you. It may not be much. If it gets dark enough around you, it'll shine. Right? We know we're a vessel of the Holy Ghost. That's what happens if there ain't much fuel there. Just a little wood stick and a little bit of phosphorus on the end.
right here.
It'll take a minute to catch. Sorry to make it smoky. Give it just a minute, I'm sorry. There we go. Look right here. We know we're a vessel of the Holy Ghost. That's what happens when you're full of oil. When there's oil in there. If you're not, if you let the, hang on. There we go. That went out. Got low on oil. Look at that. Ain't that something? A little oil. A young Christian will get in that word, and they'll pray, maybe every now and again even do a little fasting, get full of that Holy Ghost. Amen. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When somebody comes up to you on Monday morning, what's the first thing you talk about? Is it about what happened Sunday at church? Is it about what the Lord did for you? Or is it about, I'm just throwing this out of your ball game? What are you full of? If you're a Christian full of oil, you're going to shine bright. And I realize this is a Coleman. There's a little more technology in with it. That's why I like it. This right here, you loosen that and you pump it up, you pressure it up. Pressure it up. What's that? That's the world squeezing a Christian. If you're full of God and you get pressured up, you're going to shine all the brighter. You're going to shine all. That little old girl in that Syrian camp, a slave, who knows what happened to her when they captured her? And then she didn't backbite her master. She didn't speak evil against him. She told him about the Lord. Yeah. That right there, I bet she's shining bright. Don't even know her name. Lord knows it. Ain't that something? If you walk with the full of the Lord, how much brighter you'll shine. Amen. Shine in dark places further. We dim the lights even more. Y'all wouldn't even be able to tell nothing about the vessel. All you'd see is the light. Huh? What about that? If it's real dark and you got a little light in you, they don't even know what you are, a lantern, a candle. All they're going to see is light. Amen. Amen. Christian, if you'll be full of God, when the world starts squeezing you, they'll see Jesus. That's why it's important. My papa, he got sick. He got sick, and why is he so important to me? Why does he mean so much to me? I hardly even remember him preaching. They say it's hellfire and brimstone. I kind of remember it, but I'll tell you what I do remember. Hey, amen. I remember no matter how bad he felt, it didn't keep him from praying. He'd go to church, and heaven forbid, people say this today. He'd say, well, I might as well hurt there as hurt at home. Old bony arms and legs and sinews. Have his blood run through a machine twice a week. He kept praising him. He praised him. He had faith in him. Yeah. Amen. That's worth. Oh, that's something worth having right there. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You can suffer with the Lord, and you can shine while you do it. People wonder why Christians suffer. That right there is why. If we had it easy, nobody'd take notice. When the world's pressuring you up, look at that. Ain't that good? I like it. I like doodads anyways. But I tell you what. You know what it makes me think of? Oh, and I'm about done. Abraham looked up that night at the stars and believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Still the same today. If you believe God did what he said he did and said he's going to do, it'll be counted to you for righteousness. You'll get saved. After that, he made a sacrifice, and he asked the Lord for a token, best I remember. I could be off. I don't think I am, but I could be. And it said a horrible darkness fell on him. Christian, sometimes you're going to be in a horrible darkness. But the great thing about being saved is you ain't going to be alone. He said he's in that horrible darkness, and God showed him how his children would suffer in Egypt. But it said there's a burning lamp and a furnace down there amongst the sacrifice swinging around. He wasn't alone. Ain't that good? Ain't that good? Hey, man, what's my hope? my hope is, even if I don't win any, maybe I can encourage somebody that only gets to hear good preaching once or twice a year. Some Christian brother down there, maybe they've had family die and everything else and they can't get out. Maybe I can fill their tank up with oil. Maybe I have enough to spare. I believe that's the benefit of assembling yourselves together. If I'm running low, maybe you have abundance. We know that's true. That's why preachers preach harder when you sick the Lord on them. That's the point in praying, is you sick the Lord on them. One last thing. If you cut the fuel off, I want you to see what happens, Christian. I know the Lord could blow on it, quicken it back up, turn the fuel on and blow on it, and it can come alive again. But you know, we have a part in whether or not we shine. We're willing to keep your lamp full, keep the fuel flowing. Preacher, I'm done. I hope it makes sense for everybody. I hope you go out tomorrow and remember to keep your lamp full. Shine some light on somebody. Love you, church.